Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Here we are on this big Tuesday in New York City, sitting about 3.5 weeks until the NFL draft. We're days into the baseball season, a couple of weeks away from the start of the NBA playoffs and the NHL playoffs. Knicks have a big game tonight, which we'll address a little bit later on in the show. And Tiki's thoughts on a few of these quarterbacks that are going up and down draft boards all over America. We'll discuss that, I promise you, in the next half hour. Last night, it was right after the Met game ended, or at least it was towards the very end of the Met game, I had the MLB app open, and they've got this cool graphic that says no hitter or perfect game. And no hitters were on my mind last night because, hey, Sean Manaea started the Met game with four perfect innings, and he also took a no hitter into the final batter he faced, two outs in the sixth inning. And I was having this internal battle. I was not at Citi Field last night. I was having the internal battle of, do I want to see Sean Manaea attempt to pitch a perfect game or no hitter if I'm not in attendance? The old selfish kind of tug of war. And I think you guys would be proud of me. I made the decision. I hope he does it. Like, it's okay that I'm not there. I'm a grown damn man. I don't have to miss half of work for opening day anymore, right? I got a book coming out where all my scorecards are published. My Mets Bible on sale today. Scoring 30 years of baseball fandom.
Were you scoring this one last night?
Of course. Come on. Is that a serious question?
Just making sure.
Is that a serious question?
Just making sure.
You want to see a picture?
I just wanted to see if you were excited as you were, I don't know, five innings in.
Yeah. I'm going to show you a picture of my scorecard. The scorebook is in my office, but I like to take pictures of it, so I have it.
Nerd alert!
Look at that scorecard. Isn't that pretty? You want to SNY? I want to do a little close-up. This is my scorecard from last night's games. A little picture of it. Thank you very much. All right. A little glare. That's my fault, SNY. Don't worry.
I'm a loser.
Anyhow.
There's 8 big lights, 10 big lights right above you.
That's my fault. Anyhow, last night when
blinding
I went to
our audience.
When I went to the MLB app, I saw that Ronel Blanco, who I have to admit I'm vaguely familiar with. I only knew of him because I saw like spring training and his name listed, and he pitched like a handful of times last year. Ronel Blanco was pitching a no-hitter. And I immediately did two things. I turned the game on. And I text the Mets chat, which Takey's in.
Yes.
To say, fellas, not only is there a no-hitter, but the starting pitcher's still pitching. And I'm all excited.
Yeah, that was your biggest thing.
I was so excited. Takey Barber ignores it. Like, I didn't even send the message. And Adam Eaton, that's not his real name, and there's a follow-up to Adam Eaton, responds by saying, who gives a crap? Or is that where we are? Like, do baseball fans no longer give craps about no-hitters if it doesn't involve your team? Like, is that where... By the way, if that's the answer, just tell me. I just need to know.
Not necessarily. It was just kind of like, why do I care about the Astros?
You just beat them.
We just own them, so why do I care?
No, I think the general consensus is we used to really give a crap.
Yeah.
And I think now with no-hitters, we give like a half a crap.
So if I would have texted you last
perfect
night...
Perfect game would have been different.
Oh, perfect game you're still into.
100%.
What a snob.
Unless it's in Oakland at 1 a.m.
If I had texted you, Sean, and you were on the Mets text chat, and I said, hey, Ronel Blanco, no-hitter, would you have flipped to the game?
Yeah, because I did.
You did?
If I know a no-hitter's in progress, I'm around a TV, I flip and I see it to the end.
And you did?
Absolutely.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you missed it last night, Ronel Blanco versus Vladimir Guerrero Jr. as the Astros attempted to pitch their... Hold on, let me check this. 1, 2, 3. This can't be real. Their 16th no-hitter in franchise history?
That's why nobody cared.
Ugh. I hate the Astros. Here's the final out on TV.
Ground ball. Dubon throws to first. No-hitter! Ronel Blanco in his 8th career start. The 30-year-old States magic on April Fool's Day.
I don't like including April Fool's Day. Like, why do we need to do that? He makes magic on April Fool's Day? What is this, like a federal holiday now?
Yeah, is this, I mean, this was his first start. What was it?
No, he started, his first start of the year. It was his eighth major league start.
Yeah. Yeah. He's 30 years old. It's not like he's...
No, but the call missed something important.
What would the call miss?
It is the earliest to date a no-hitter has ever been thrown in Major League Baseball history. That is a historical moment. That announcer, I don't know who it is, had a chance to add a little flair to something that's never been done before in baseball, and instead he's making cracks about April Fool's Day.
Okay, I'm going to give you an opportunity right now. Vladimir Guerrero hit a ground ball to Mauricio Dubon, fielded it and threw to first base. Make the call. Go ahead. 3, 2, 1, action.
Here's the pitch. Ground ball by Vlad Guerrero. Mauricio Dubon fields, throws, and there it is. The first no-hitter ever thrown on the first week of April in Major League Baseball history.
Terrible.
Oh, shut up.
That's a terrible call.
Well, you know, if I was in the building, a little more flair.
That was too wordy.
Ronel Blanco throws a no-hitter. No joke.
Is that your guy?
No, that's not bad, though.
I think I like that this is no joke.
He makes an April Fool out of the Blue Jays.
Oh,
all right.
That's a good one.
I want to give this a try now. I started this game I want to do. Here we go. Can you count me down? 3, 2, 1?
3, 2, 1.
Blanco comes set. Here's the pitch. Ground ball towards the middle. Dubon fields it. His throw to first base. It's no joke. Ronel Blanco, no hitter.
Oh, shut up.
Nah, I thought that one doesn't work.
This is not our strength.
No.
Don't tell the Yankees that. We still want to call a spring training game next year.
Oh, wait. Didn't Susan say we could do one in spring training?
She gave us permission, and then we didn't have the money to go down there.
She posted it and toasted it.
Right. Or maybe she didn't want us to come down. Congratulations to Ronel Blanco. I still think no hitters matter. But apparently to America, you guys don't care anymore.
I think I said when we had the meeting, we were talking about this, I'm more impressed as a complete game. You know, you never see that anymore.
But you know what?
How many pitches did he
throw? Ended up throwing 104, 105, but he was in the low 90s.
105.
I completely agree with you. If Blanco was not in this game, like it was Javier last year, or 2 years ago now, because Christian Javier pitched 2 no-hitters in the same year, one in the World Series, but they were both combined, including the one against the Yankees. I was on a boat that day. I was driving a boat listening to the Christian Javier no-hitter. True
story. You can drive a boat, but you don't know how to cook a burger on a grill.
That is correct, yes.
Wow.
That is obscene.
Driving a boat?
Yeah, if you were to ask me who at WFAN definitely cannot drive a boat, the answer is Evan Roberts.
Why does that surprise you?
Because driving a boat is hard.
No, it's not.
You got to know where the channels are.
It's easy, dude. It takes 30 seconds. You channel here, you channel there, you turn the wheel, you hit the gas, you're moving.
No, it's not channel here, channel there. No. You got to know where the deep parts are. You can sand this thing.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
He just got lucky he didn't hit me.
Absolutely.
That's exactly what
I was in one of those like big lakes, not the Great Lakes. One of those lakes, the Finger Lakes. Remember the Finger Lakes? Hmm.
They didn't go away, Evan. Yes, I remember the Finger Lakes.
Yeah, I was boating through the Finger Lakes. And Christian Javier pitched the no-hitter. I was blasting the game. And it was tough because, you know, my father-in-law is a Yankee fan. I didn't want to be a jerk, but I was really enjoying it. Either way.
Was it a pontoon boat?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that's why.
What the hell does that mean?
It's flat. It's like it's easy.
I just said it was easy.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I thought you meant like an actual, like a boat.
Well, I just said a boat. Like, I'm not a boater like Giannotti is. Like, I know he's like a big-time boater. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying I was driving a boat. I was just telling you the full story.
By the way, again, another Roberts family vacation where they can't let baseball sit it out. Can you put on some music on the freaking boat?
Sean.
No hitter. So you got alerted in the middle of the pontoon that there's a no-hitter.
Yes. Mm. Yes, I got texted, and I was checking the time. I see the text message. It's like, hey, baby, there's a no-hitter going on. Can I put it on?
And she was like, yeah, sure.
She said, fine. My father-in-law was definitely, and then I realized it's against the Yankees. And then I felt kind of bad about it. But we listened to it. It was fun. Had a good time. But I agree with you. The point is, the combined no-hitter, less fun than the like full no-hitter.
The thing that was more impressive... Because how many complete games were there last year?
Well,
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. you've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Like I think last year there were
a ton.
Yeah, but last year I think like there were five no hitters. In fact, I have the list right here. I'm going to give you the answer. I'm not just going to guess.
All right.
2023, Michael Lorenzen, complete game no hitter on August 9th. Mm-hmm. Framber Valdez, complete game no hitter on August 1st, so 8 days earlier. Right. Combined no hitter by the Tigers in July. Domingo Herman's perfect game. So you had four no hitters. Three of them were complete games.
Wow. That's pretty impressive.
That's not bad. And now we got this year with Ronel Blanco. And so the Houston Astros now have pitched 17 no-hitters in their history. Oh, my God. I'm looking at everybody's list. The Dodgers have thrown 26. The White Sox have thrown 20. And then you got the Mets with two.
And now you're wondering why we don't care anymore.
Yeah.
Because the good teams, that's what they do.
They do it a lot. The Yankees only have 13. Interesting. Let's go to Chris calling from Brooklyn. What's going on, Chris?
How's it going, guys?
What's up?
With this start to the Yankee season, you know, it's great news for Yankee fans, but I got more bad news for Lugie.
What's
that's
that?
For sure. Listen, I don't know why I decided to stay up, watch that whole game and the post game for some strange reason, and all I heard last night was the Yankees are doing damage.
Oh.
They're on it. They're on it.
Oh, my God, Chris. The takeover is happening.
Uh-oh.
First, it was their dogs, which is Lugie shtick on the Knicks. And now they've gone to the second D. They've gone to damage. Lugie, it's over, bro.
Who said damage?
He just said the Yankees were saying it last night.
The Yankee players?
That's what I'm hearing.
Well, now, see, I was calm yesterday. Now I'm starting to get a little aggravated here. I gave you a warning yesterday. Move on. Get a different shtick. This is my shtick. This is the Knicks shtick. If you're adding now damage, you're completely ripping off my entire thing that I've been building for years, that I've been cultivating.
It's gone, dude.
Like no, it's not gone.
It's over,
no, it's
man.
Not gone. I'm not going to lay down here.
The Yankees have taken it from you.
They have not taken it from me. They are trying. They are borrowing it right now because I'm allowing it, but they have not taken it from me.
It.
Well, yeah, but for because like I said, I calmly said, you know, maybe they didn't get the message, so I'll say it again. Move on. Get your own shtick. Don't take mine.
I didn't take that as the player said it. He said he was listening to the post-game show.
Mm.
Was that a Justin Shackle going to the damage spot?
No,
did Emmanuel Babari take it?
I could see that happening.
Oh, no.
I could definitely see that happening.
That Shackle took it?
Yeah, that the post-game took it.
That's dirty if Shackle did it. Because
mm-hmm.
that's Shackle saying, you know what? Screw Lugie. With taking away his Lugauer by Yankee baseball once they're back on the East Coast.
Exactly.
And now with taking a shtick. Huh. If Shackle's doing it, it's worse. Like, if Verdugo does it, you just got to, you know, kind of lean down and say, hey, it's yours, Bo.
No, I don't have to lean down anybody,
like,
by the way.
I mean, it's a professional baseball player. He's, like, respecting you.
He's
giving you your due.
He's ripping
him
off.
He doesn't know that you're a Met fan. he just knows you're talking about the Knicks, and he likes it like the cool shtick.
It's not like you said I'm quoting Lugauer. He just took it, so he's not nodding.
But you got to understand something. Like, with all due respect, the Knicks aren't going anywhere.
Oh, no. Don't
so
start with me now.
The
don't
Yankees, who are going somewhere, use the shtick for something that's going to go a little bit further.
No. What was that little snide comment?
It was not a snide comment. It's reality.
No, it's not reality.
What am I going to tell you?
No, it's not reality.
Who has a better chance to win a title, the Knicks or the Yankees?
The Knicks.
Excuse me?
The Knicks. You heard me.
You think the...
We'll find out tonight.
You think the Knicks have a better chance of winning a title than the New York
Absolutely.
Yankees?
I'm not going to sit five games into the season that this Yankee team is that much different, and the Knicks are right there.
I didn't need
at the end of the season.
I didn't need five games to know that. Sean, who has a better chance to win a title this year, the Knicks or the Yankees?
The Yankees. There's no doubt about it.
Tiki, why are you thinking about it? Are you really thinking about
this? The Knicks could get hot, and I still need to figure out what OG's issue is.
Stop it. The Knicks do have one chance to beat a baseball team in this town. They can have their season finish after the Mets season.
Okay. Thanks for that. Pete's calling from Babylon. What's up, Pete?
How are we doing, fellas? How's everything going? All right?
Good.
Good. What's up, man?
You guys are the best. Every day you make my day better than it is. Every time I get to hear your voices, all four of you back there, Tommy and Sean and You and Kiki, congrats on the book, Evan.
Appreciate
and
it,
Sean,
man.
Listen, real quick, stay away from Stop and Shop. Try maybe the post office or the Argyle or Mary Carroll's. Maybe you got a little better of a shot being in those places than a Stop and Shop on 109, brother.
But you want to talk about dogs, go to Mary Carroll's.
Once an eagle, always an eagle. Listen, let me try to start your half hour off, because I know where you're going with this, and you know what I call and what I say and what I scream about. But
yeah.
I believe that Joe Shane, Brian Daboll, I put the New York Giants in a phenomenal situation. Yeah. I think they've had the best offseason that they've had in the history of the Giants. Being a Giants fan, for I'm 55
wow.
years old. So
the history
years,
of the Giants?
I follow the Giants. And as far as following the Giants, I've been at all four winning Super Bowls. And in my opinion, they had the best.
Well, hold on. Can I, with all due respect, push you just a tad on that?
Yes, you can.
Like, I love the Brian Burns move. I think we all do, right? I think we're all pretty gung-ho about that. And I thought they did a pretty good job here kind of fixing the issues on their offensive line, signing two guys, John Runyon. I think that replacing Saquon with Devin Singletary, nice move. Jalen Mills, like, they made nice moves. I'm not going to argue by crapping on what the Giants did in the offseason. But the best offseason in the history of the franchise?
Give me another year.
Okay, when they drafted Eli Manning, which helped them win two Super Bowls.
But that's the draft.
That was the draft.
He's talking about pre-draft.
I'm talking about an off-season, a free agency off-season, where the Giants added and filled holes, which now allows them to trade with Minnesota, take Minnesota's 11-23, go get two great players, whether it be a receiver and a defensive end or a receiver and – I mean, you know me. I still want to tackle.
I understand that, Pete. And actually, coming up in a few minutes, I promised it before 4:30, and we will do it. I want Tiki's thoughts on the two quarterbacks that are moving up and down boards and how it impacts the Giants. We'll get actually deep into the Giants actually in a couple minutes. But you said something, and I don't know. Maybe it's your auditioning to be here on WFAN. I'm not sure. But you gave us that like huge headline,
right?
You know, that huge strong opinion of Giants' best offseason ever, right? And before we continue, I want to ask Sean and Tiki, the Giant connoisseurs, best offseason ever. If I had to ask you, of your lifetime, okay? So just your lifetime.
So just you're talking free agency.
Is that how you took that?
That's how I took it. He was talking pre-draft.
See, you know what? Off the top, just by the way, as an IFO, they had an offseason 1 year in which they signed a bunch of free agents, made the playoffs in the Ben McAdoo year, won 11 games.
16. That was Olivier Vernon, Snacks Harrison, and Janoris Jenkins.
Yeah. Right. And in the short term?
But what about...
No, it was amazing.
It's 05 when Tiki was on the team. Plaxico, Antonio Pierce.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Or I was thinking the Kerry Collins one, but we didn't make the playoffs that year.
Right.
Are you going to make the playoffs this year?
Kerry Collins came in 99, my third year. We went to the Super Bowl the next year.
Right.
But I can't remember who else came in that offseason. So I have no idea.
That's why, like, calling this offseason, which, again, I'm not saying it's bad by any stretch. Like, we all love the Brian Burns move, aggressive contract and keeping him. We all thought they pivoted well in losing Saquon Barkley, no matter what our opinions are about how it happened and if they should have signed him earlier. Like, I'm not telling you this is a bad offseason. But to give us the best offseason in Giant history, that feels a little too strong. Yeah. It's just a little tiny. You know?
No, I agree. A little over the top. Let's have Brian Burns get one sack first.
Maybe. And also, like, what are the Giants going to be next year? You know, I just made that example to you about a half hour ago and talking about the Mets and the Yankees, how, you know, there's a good chance the Giants go into next year with, you know, very average to low expectations. The Jets go in there with high expectations. We don't even know what their expectations are going to be. And they could actually be lowered depending on what they do in the NFL draft. So to call an offseason like that level of amazing, I don't know if I could do that yet. Now, maybe it'll turn out that way years from now. Maybe that call will be the hottest, most ahead-of-his-time phone call we've ever taken. Except no one will remember it, which is unfortunate. You know what? I'll remember it.
Here we go. Write it down.
I'm writing it down.
Write it down.
April 2nd, 2024, at about 4:15 p.m. Eastern time. We'll get back to your calls and also more on the Giants, including the quarterback carousel of hype that we've seen over the last few weeks. Tiki Barber has strong opinions on Caleb Williams and Drake May and J.J. McCarthy. We'll put it to the test coming up in the next couple of minutes. And, of course, more on the Yankees and Mets. And speaking of the Yankees and Mets, the SNY Fan Choice Poll, which we have today, is brought to you by Dunkin', the official coffee of Evan and Tiki. And I got to tell you, I like this question. This is a good question. Who came up with this question, Lugie? Someone from SNY? Or you?
I did.
That was you?
Yeah.
I like that.
Thank you. You made my day by saying
that. Did you hear Frank the Tank is claiming he was told SNY will not show him on Met broadcast anymore?
Is that what Frank said?
Yeah, I don't know if that's true about him. It's just what he's saying.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I mean, I love Frank, but he doesn't have to be shown on every Met broadcast.
No, not everyone, but they're not showing him, period, at all? Like, he's banned?
I think he took it like he got banned.
Got it.
Do you want to ask SNY? Because I have no idea.
Yeah, I'll text Frank, too. See where he's.
Well, Frank clearly thinks
that. Why would he have been banned?
I don't know, because he's very negative? I don't know. There's nothing wrong with being negative. He's a Met fan. He's crazy. I mean, I don't agree with Frank a lot of the time, but I also feel his pain some of the time.
And outside of Pete Alonso, he's now the Mets' biggest star.
So. And I'll tell you this about Frank. Frank's real. I think a lot of people think it's like all shtick and he's over the top. Like,
oh,
I don't.
It's real.
I don't necessarily agree with all of his over the all over the top takes, but he is, in my interactions with him, he comes across very real. He is a crazy, angry Met fan.
Scared my daughter to death as we were all in a pool together.
You were in a pool with Frank the Tank?
I was. Me and Frank were sitting there having a conversation. My daughter swam by in swimmies, and he started screaming and yelling about Alonso and Lindor.
What?
To the point my daughter started crying and had to be taken out of the pool right away.
This was at Stu Feiner's house, so yes. Just imagine that. Stu doesn't scare you, but Frank did.
And my daughter, at 2 years old, asked me on the ride home, Daddy, what was wrong with that guy?
That may be my favorite Frank the Tank story.
He's real.
Anyhow, I'm not sure if he's banned or not, but here's your SNY fan choice, Paul. It's a great question. What will happen first, or which will happen first? The Mets win a game, the Yankees lose a game. That's a good one. To cast your vote on the SNY Fan Choice poll, visit sny.tv/vote. More of your baseball calls, and we will get in to the NFL draft and the quarterbacks.
I have a Mets weather update, if you'd like it now or after the break. You want it now?
Has the game been postponed?
No. So this is from Anthony DeComo. Mets officials anticipate a weather window from around 7 to 9 p.m. tonight per Carlos Mendoza. Their current intention is to try to play, barring a change in the forecast, over the next couple of hours.
Interesting.
That's exactly what Sean said.
I think they're going to get it in.
So earlier on in the show, a guy called up and said, hey, guys, looking for advice. I have tickets tonight. Really don't want to get rained on. What should I do? And I protected myself, and I protected him. I said, they're going to rain this game out. There's no question. So I don't think you should go, but I'll offer you Evan insurance. If it gets played, like if they play the game and you don't go, I'll take care of you down the road with Met tickets.
You better.
Well, it looks like I'm off to a hot start in 2024.
Just like the Mets.
Evan and Tinky here on the Fan. Sean's got a Cinco de Five-O coming up in the next half hour. We'll get to the rise of J.J. McCarthy and what appears to be the fall of Drake May in just a couple of minutes. And last night, Francisco Lindor made a business decision in the bottom of the first inning that I still don't understand, and we'll try to explain it coming up at around 5 o'clock. But we do have a J.D. Martinez update from the manager of the New York Mets, Carlos Mendoza. J.D. obviously signed about a week before the season. He went down to the minor leagues where I think he's been at single A. And obviously with the Mets off to this awful, awful start, especially offensively, especially where they're getting nothing out of the DH spot and very little out of the cleanup spot until Francisco Alvarez was moved there last night, It certainly calls to question, hey, where the hell's J.D. Martinez? Here is the latest from the manager of the New York Mets, Carlos Mendoza.
Is that just completely dependent on his feedback, or are there things that you guys need to see to tell you that he does or does not need to go to an affiliate? And if so, what are they?
I think it's more of JD knowing himself. You know, again, this is a pretty quick ramp up for him. You know, it's a different spring training. It's not your typical spring training where, you know, you're able to take a day off or so after 2 or 3 days of heavy activities, you know, and right now, since we signed him, he's been on the go. And, you know, like I say, he knows his body better than anybody. And we will have this conversation. But if he needs more time, then, you know, he's gonna take more time.
Laura?
Just a super quick clarification. So the earliest in a perfect world that J.D. Martinez can join this club would be on Sunday?
Sunday, okay. Yes.
That's the earliest he could join the club. That doesn't mean he's going to join the club. And look, J.D. Martinez should be here when he knows he's ready. Like, we could sit here and scream and yell and say, why wasn't he ready? And that's a fair question to ask. But I don't want him up here flailing at pitches or potentially getting hurt. Like, I do understand he's got to know his body. So my issue isn't necessarily, why isn't he here right now? Just push yourself. It's more, why wasn't he ready?
Yeah.
Like, why wasn't the Boris camp Weren't they supposedly everybody getting ready for the start of the season despite being a free agent?
I mean, apparently, I guess, but what, it's just not the same when you're doing it by yourself. And this is unlike the lockout year where it felt like they all kind of got together and were doing it by themselves. You know what I mean? This didn't feel like this kind of offseason for some of these free agents. Not the lockout year. What year was it that all those free agents didn't sign?
No, you're right.
It was the lockout year,
yeah. Because
they kind of all got together.
Yeah, so it was two kind of periods of free agency, right. The one before the lockout in December and then after. And I think that happened. It's happened a few times in baseball history, but that was certainly one example.
Right,
yes.
But I'm surprised that, I mean, JD's he's a vet, right? He's been around for a while.
That's what I don't understand.
So he knows what it takes, even if he's not doing it with a team. So to, I guess, neglect that? And then now spend 2 weeks in the minor league just so you can get yourself ready not to get injured doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure when we finally hear from JD, we'll get some clarity on this. But it is confounding. Because you know when the start of the season is.
That's the part that frustrates me. I'm not going to say just call him up now. Who cares? He can't be worse than DJ Stewart. Because even though he can't be worse than DJ Stewart, I don't want him getting hurt. And I don't want him starting 0-for-12, and then we're basically turning on JD Martinez. He needs to be ready.
But when you say getting hurt, what's the risk here?
What do you mean?
Like, what's the injury risk?
I don't know.
He's DHing.
Pulling a hamstring? I don't know. I mean, pulling a muscle? I have no idea. My point is, when Carlos Mendoza says JD knows his body, I'm going to buy that. He knows his body. If he's not ready to hit major league pitching, whether it's effectiveness or it's injury, fine. Continue to get at-bats. My problem is not with that. It's more, what were you doing in the early part of February? What were you doing in the early part of March? What were you doing?
Being upset with Scott Boras I'm serious.
I don't know. Like Jordan Montgomery, I think, said recently, hey, my first start's going to be April 19th. Not bad. You know, 3 weeks. Okay, sign, boom, 3 weeks. He's making a start.
But pitching is different.
And I think that's quick.
Right.
That's my point. I'm complimenting Jordan Montgomery.
But pitching is very different than, I think, a DH who's going to take, you know, 20 hacks a game. Right? It's just different.
Right. That's why there's no excuse for this.
No, there really isn't. And it's almost like Mendoza's putting it on JD. I mean, not almost. He is.
No, he is. He's saying it's up to him.
It's up to JD Martinez.
Which it has to be, because Carlos Mendoza's not sitting there in Port St. Lucie, Florida, watching JD Martinez. He's watching the Mets score one run a game or zero runs a game. He's too busy. He's watching this crap offense. He can't be watching JD Martinez down in Port St. Lucie, Florida. So, yeah, it comes down to when JD says, I'm good to go. I can face major league pitching. Get the hell up here.
Yeah.
Because right now they miss him. We'll get back to baseball in a second and more of your phone calls, including the mysterious Francisco Lindor decision he made last night in the first inning with an explanation that still doesn't make sense. But I have noticed over the last few weeks as we get set for this NFL draft, not only what the Giants are going to do and if they're going to draft a quarterback, but it seems like J.J. McCarthy's value continues to go up. Okay. But it also feels like Drake May's value seems to go down. Forget about values to you. When you've now watched both of these guys, you're studying both of these guys, you're looking at the ass of both of these guys. Because I am told that's a big part of quarterback play.
It is. It indicates health or how healthy you're going to be. Can you take a hit on the NFL level? Not that you can hit quarterbacks anymore. It's probably going to get worse as the years continue to go on. But they're so different because of the offenses that they played in. J.J. McCarthy, while we know he's a national champion, he's got a big arm, he's got that like swag about him, he wears the eye black, like he's got that attitude that makes you feel like, dude, I'm gonna run behind that guy. That guy's gonna go through a wall, I'm gonna be right behind him, type of mentality. You can feel it, you can see it when you see him play. But he played in a run heavy offense, right? It's what they did at Michigan. And so we don't know if he can make all these throws, or we don't know if, you know, how he processes. Now, ultimately, it doesn't matter, because when you draft a guy, you have to be in the right system to teach him those things, even if he already did those in college. But to me, I've always liked Drake May more because of the offense that he ran in college. Now, it was a lot of wide open. Almost every throw is man-on-man or pseudo-man-on-man. And what I mean by that is you have four wide receivers, and even if they're playing zone, the guy who's on the outside, he's got to play the guy, the receiver over him, like it's man coverage.
Right.
Right. You got four deep, the guy's standing right on you, and you got to cover the deep third, and he's going deep. You got to cover him. So he had a lot of one-on-one throws, and he nails them. right? He makes great down the field throws. The intermediate stuff you didn't see a ton of because it's just not what their offense was dictated by. But I like Drake May because he seems like he can process different, right? Or better, I should say. And that's really what the NFL has become. It's make the right decision, make it quickly, and if you don't have it, use your legs. Be an athlete. And he is a good athlete as well.
It seems as if the Giants' chances to draft J.J. McCarthy or to get May would have to be via trading up. I don't think definitely. Either guy's fault. We're definitely. Right? We're all at definitely? Right.
Yes. But let me address real quick why J.J.'s going up. And,
yeah, why is he going up?
And Drake is going down. So a lot of what Drake did was, a good number. It was off schedule stuff. It's like, all right, I'm going to scramble. My guy's beating you. I'm just going to throw it deep. So it's not prescribed. It doesn't translate. Like, you don't do that in the NFL. I mean, Tyreek Hill and Pat Mahomes did it for a season or two, but you don't really see that a ton. So it's hard to really evaluate it. Whereas J.J. McCarthy is getting, I think, a boost because Jim Harbaugh won't shut up about him. And I'm barely joking about this.
No, he does. He loves
him. He just keeps, like, propping him up. And if you say something enough and loud enough, and then people repeat it, and you start to get this, like, false, I don't want to call it a false narrative, because he might be the best quarterback in this draft. Who knows? But you get this narrative about him that he's the best quarterback, and he could be a steal in the top, like, at 5 or 4, then it becomes the narrative about him, even if it's not true. And it's really because he's got an advocate. Who the hell is advocating for Drake May in the NFL? Nobody. But Jim Harbaugh is J.J. McCarthy's former head coach.
And the reason
former head coach that just won a national championship.
No, I think there are two reasons why Jim's advocating for him. Number one, obviously, I'm sure he likes him. They have a relationship. He coached him, like you said. I think that's obvious. But the second is it benefits his situation for his value to go up.
Yes.
Because if he goes higher, then Jim's team will have the pick of the litter of non-quarterbacks.
That's exactly right.
Or he could use the pick to trade back, obviously. That's the other possibility.
So what you're saying, because the Chargers are at 5, that if people jump him and we get 1, 2, 3, 4 all quarterbacks, the Chargers are like, we got, who's the best player in this draft?
They got the first pick of the draft because they don't have an interest in a quarterback because they think they have a quarterback.
Exactly right. So he's doing it, I think, because he actually likes J.J. McCarthy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It took Jim Harbaugh, if you know the Michigan history, over his 7 years or 8 years there, it took forever to find the correct quarterback. He finally got that right quarterback in J.J. McCarthy, and he wins a national championship. So I think he genuinely loves the kid.
Yeah.
Right? But it's also kind of self-serving.
No doubt.
In some other ways. And because he constantly does it. It's not like he did it once or maybe twice. He does it like every time he gets in front of a microphone and gets asked about the draft. He talks about J.J. McCarthy. People listen because he's Jim Harbaugh. He's had success in college. He had a ton of success in the NFL. He's had success wherever he's been as a coach. So people listen to him, and it becomes the narrative for J.J., and he starts climbing, and Drake May reciprocally starts to fall. And it's not fair, but it's just the reality of narrative making around this time pre-draft.
Would either guy be worth trading up for if you're the Giants?
For me, no.
Because of them or because of the way you want to build the ass first?
Because we have Daniel Jones on a $40 million deal. And then, yes, I want to build. Like, we've done okay in free agency. I think really well with the offensive line. But there's still depth issues. I would love to have someone who you're sure about. You're not even, there's no question what is Runyon like? Is he going to fit in the system? He's been around for a couple of years. Like, I want a surety. And you already have your quarterback. So for me, it's not worth it.
Interesting. What about you?
I would trade up for Drake May. I would not for J.J. McCarthy. Because I like everything that Tiki said. And I got to be real, too. I don't know how much of this J.J. McCarthy stuff is fabricated out of sheer boredom from NFL media and teams because this draft actually didn't have drama. The top three quarterbacks felt like the top three quarterbacks all along.
And hierarchy perfectly, just as they
with
are.
Three teams that are quarterback needy. And unlike every other year in the NFL draft, There was no drama. And what does everybody making a mock draft have to do for 2 months? Create drama, create groundswells. And I do think that there are teams that like J.J. McCarthy, and maybe one does trade up to four, but I'm not so sure that J.J. McCarthy...
What do you think the lack of drama is? Like, Caleb number one, okay.
Yeah.
May two, Jaden three? Is that what you think is the obvious that we're not just admitting?
Yeah, and I think you have three teams that aren't interested, truthfully, in trading because they need quarterbacks. Yes. So I think that there is zero drama, essentially, at the top of the draft. And for everybody that gets paid to make mock drafts or go out and get reports from certain teams of what's going on, I think you have a dead drama draft that's killing the buzz.
I got to tell you, if they all go four, I don't necessarily buy into these things, but I wouldn't be surprised if people start saying J.J. McCarthy is a top five pick. I wouldn't be surprised if the Patriots take him over Daniels simply because of like attitude and weather and
weather.
I'm serious.
No, I know. It's just ridiculous.
He played in that kind of weather. Yeah, Daniels didn't play in. He played in the SEC. It's a different beast.
It's a different world. I get you.
I'm telling you, go in outside and it's 2 degrees and you got to throw the football or get hit. You react differently, man. It's different.
But if that happens, Tiki, and I understand building the ass and you don't want to take chances, if that happens and the guy who everybody thought was a lock top three quarterback starts to fall to four in Daniels or May and McCarthy really goes, the Giants really have to think long and hard here and not just worry that, you know, hey, we have to give up an extra first next year. The quarterback is going to be essential to the future.
I think it's becoming obvious that unless you're talking about Penix and you're talking about later in the draft, where you're sitting right now at six, I think clearly the top four quarterbacks are going to be gone. I think it's just obvious, and I think you're right that if you want one of those guys, obviously there are other quarterbacks you could draft later, you're going to have to trade up.
Right.
And the question is, do you want to do that? I mean, is that worth the cost of business?
Well, just think about the teams that are sitting there. Their quarterbacks who played most of the season last year for all three of those teams are gone.
Yeah.
Right? The Bears do not have Justin Fields
anymore. Well, they're clearly going Caleb. We know that.
The Commanders do not have Sam Howell
they're
anymore.
They're clearly taking a quarterback.
The New England Patriots do not have Mac Jones
anymore.
They're
idiotic not to take a quarterback. Right. I mean, they are obviously, right. I agree with your assessment that the three quarterbacks are going 1, 2, 3. It's just a matter of which ones. Right. I don't know. That one, there could be motivations for why things are leaked out in certain ways.
And the only caveat on can the fourth get to six, I still think there's a chance because of...
I think Minnesota's climbing. They're going to do whatever they can.
I know they're going to do it, Tiki, but if you are Arizona and the Chargers, I'm not saying they would say no. Man, it is rare that you could get these top three receivers who are really the top three players in the draft and pass on that to trade back to 11 or whatever and miss out on one of those guys.
That's a good point. Especially if you're Arizona.
You're talking about three wide receivers who on other drafts could be the first overall pick.
Right. I don't even know who is the wide receiving core in Arizona right now because Hollywood Brown's gone.
Exactly.
No, I got you.
Say no to that with Kyler Murray, how could you do that?
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense that the Chargers would be the team that trades back with the Minnesota Vikings.
Nah, it does. If the Mets are going to play tonight against the Detroit Tigers, here's what they're doing with their lineup. We'll see if that pisses off Mets fans. There's one thing that, I don't want to say bothers me, but I would do differently. Nimmo, Lindor, Alonso, except Nimmo is DHing tonight. Mm. Alvarez cleaning up, which you know I love. Brett Beatty batting fifth. That's the one you question. Mm. Marte, sixth. McNeil, seventh. Tyrone Taylor, eighth and left. And Harrison Bader's batting ninth in center field. The only thing I would do is I'd move Marte up. I know we get crazy about you can't have two lefties in a row. If anything, then drop Jeff McNeil to eight. Right. Or drop Brett Beatty to eight. I want Marte up there because he's been hitting. He's actually been performing.
Right.
Have Alvarez and Marte back-to-back. Don't get lost in the lefty-righty split thing like it's a necessity. But that's your Met lineup, assuming they play tonight. Adrian Hauser making his Met debut, taking on the Tigers, trying to get off the 0-4 snide. Remember, they started 0-5 in 2005. I'll never forget that one. And the game they finally won was the finale against the Braves. Pedro Martinez against John Smoltz was like this great pitcher's duel. They won the game. Willie Randolph got his first win as Met manager. And then they started playing better. And they actually had a reasonable season. They didn't make the playoffs, but they actually had a reasonable season. Earlier in the show, Sean Morash proclaimed the Mets will never see 500 again. And there are a lot of Met fans out there that also agree they will not see 500 again. Will we ever see Francisco Lindor, though, actually take out a second baseman or shortstop in a double play? We'll get to that coming up at 5 o'clock. But right now, let's get back to your calls with Zach in Great Neck. What's up, Zach?
Hey, two things. One, I think J.J. McCarthy is going to be the only starting quarterback out of those four years. I think
really?
He'll be way better. I do. And I will put my name on it. I said it to my friend this weekend, and I'll say it again. Only one of them that's going to be starting in 4 years. But my main point I'm calling is, Evan, I want to defend you.
Thanks.
With not rooting against the Yankees, because I hated the Yankees growing up. I hated Derek Jeter. I hated A-Rod. But in 2017, watching the Baby Bombers, I actively rooted for them, and I don't actively root for them every day, but I'm not happy to see them lose. I enjoy watching them win now, even though I'm a diehard Mets fan, season ticket holder 7 straight years. I get why you do it, and I just wanted to defend you.
Well, there's a couple. Thank you, Zach. I appreciate it. A couple things. First of all, and I know this is said so honestly around here, and I do appreciate when it's said, but I hear people around here say, I root for the Yankees because it's good for business. And I totally respect that, by the way. I've read Giannotti has said that a lot. I think Sal has said it, but I'm not going to put words in his mouth. And I get that. I don't root for the Yankees because it's good for business, nor do I even root for the Yankees. I just don't hate them. Like, I always want to be honest about my feelings towards them. I don't hate them. Mm-hmm. Like, when I watch the Yankees like I did last night or like I'm going to do tonight, I know this is hard to believe. I know you're not going to believe me, but why would I lie? I really am an IBO. I sit there and I watch baseball.
Funny.
Because as some may say, I love baseball. I do love baseball. I love baseball. I love baseball. She's my guy right now. My wife loves Greg Giannotti so much because she said to me, I love that Giannotti
This is after this morning.
Yeah, after this morning. She's like, and she's never offered any opinion of Greg Giannotti, no offense, Gene. She says to me, he was such a professional. Every time you and Boomer got off on something, he kept bringing back the book, My Mets Bible. And I was like, all right, smart. I'm going to tell Giannotti that. My wife is very happy with him. Now, he is a professional. That was greatly appreciated. But they have said, I know G has said, hey, I root for the Yankees, good for business, totally get it, and he does do that.
Does he hate the Yankees, though?
I think, like me and some other Met fans, there was a time when I did. Like, I did. I was as bad on hating the Yankees as I am currently with the Knicks. And I know the moment it changed. It changed in 04. Like, that to me was conquering the beast, if you will. And when they lost that series to the Red Sox 20 years ago, it just kind of flamed out.
Yeah.
So, I am not a Yankee fan. I certainly won't pretend that. I'm not Met fans for Yankees. As much as you know who tried, I'm not, but I don't hate them. And I know that that bothers Tommy. I respect that that bothers you. And I know it bothers a lot of people who are Met fans, as if like it is a rule that you have to also dislike them with a passion. And I'm just being honest, I don't. I'm not rooting for them. I didn't root for them in the World Series in 09.
I just don't know somebody that's similar to my age, how you could grow up in this town and how good the Yankees were, how you could sit there and say that.
Because in my Mets Bible, on sale now, Amazon bookstore, there's a lot of Met Yankee games in there, and you will see in this book my hatred for the Yankees, and you'll know why. But time just goes by.
When was the last one? The last in my last Met Yankee game?
2020.
Oh, so
it was recent, but so it was more because the Mets beat the Yankees. This is from the pandemic season in extra innings on the road. Not extra innings. I don't think it was extra innings. It was on the road it was at home on the road. It was a home game at Yankee Stadium because the pandemic was all screwy.
Oh, yes.
And so they won it on a walk-off by Ahmed Rosario at Yankee Stadium. And really why I included that game is not just beating the Yankees in that weird way. It was the fact that that day, Steve Cohen was going to be like officially the Met, not officially the Met owner, but he was going to be the Met owner.
Got it.
And so it turned into like this, oh my God, this is a great day in Met history. So it wasn't as Yankee related may sound. But yeah, Lugie, I'm with you. Like growing up, there was a real hatred. It died out. The Yankees aren't the same, by the way.
I know, but we're still the little brother. The Mets are still the same. So we have to fight for everything.
You know what it sounds like? It sounds like Evan grew out of it and you didn't.
Oh, it's never over for me. Ever.
I don't know. Maybe it will be.
Not really, because
the Mets have some ultimate level of success. I'm not saying they're winning a championship, but whatever. They just have some ultimate level of success, sustained success. I think it will be, actually. I think if you stop being jealous that the Yankees have success and the Mets don't.
You threw out the right word there. Of course it's jealousy, though.
Once you lose jealousy, it's like you break up with that girl and she's hot as hell and you're like, damn it, she's hot. And then you marry someone hotter. And you're like, all
right. Yeah, but the other girl's still hot,
though. Then you're like, all right, she was all right.
That's a good analogy.
I'm just serious.
I think you're right with him. I think that he assessed you very well.
Yeah.
I think with me, it's really about the fans.
Uh-huh.
I think Yankee fans I know this is going to blow your mind. I think Yankee fans are cocky because they're cocky, and they should be cocky. And they have a right to be cocky. I respect a lot of Yankee fans. I think Knicks fans are clowns. I do. I think that they talk as if they're like well-endowed, and they're tiny. Yankee fans, I think, are well endowed. And so when they talk as cocky as they do, I'm like, I get it. And so I sometimes notice this amongst Yankee Nick fans. I will hear a Yankee Nick fan talk about the Yankees and say, yeah, I got to get you. You're not driving me too nuts. Then when they start talking about the Knicks, I'm like, disgusting. What a clown.
I mean, I do it with the Rangers, so I'm guilty.
Yeah, no, I'm sure you are. But I think the fans have a lot to do with it. Yeah. I respect Yankee fans. I don't respect Nick
No,
fans.
Absolutely. I think it's that big brother mentality. So sometimes when you have a big brother mentality like Sean does with the Giants, with the Yankees, it carries over into his Ranger fandom, and they haven't won a cup since the 90s, and they've only won two in whatever how many years it's
yeah.
been.
Yeah, keep saying that, Luke.
So you have that arrogance about you against the little brother. It's just the way it is.
He was just giving facts. He wasn't hating. Good win by the Rangers last night. Oh, wait, they lost.
Wait till you get the Devils
yeah.
tomorrow.
Oh, we're licking our chops, Steve.
Trust me, they're not worried about that. Let's go to Zach in Connecticut. Hey, Zach.
Hey, guys. Thanks for my call. I've listened to you forever, Evan, and I've never actually gotten through, so this is pretty cool.
Well, thanks for calling, man.
Yeah, I wanted to call you guys. I've been listening to the fan, like I said. I'm 34 now. I've been listening for 30 years. I grew up on Long Island. I live in Connecticut. Unfortunately, life has taken me on a course where I have to move to Florida next week, and I will not be able to listen to you guys the same anymore. And frankly, I just wanted to thank you guys. You know, this station has been there for me for everything. And like I said, Evan, you're a little older than me. I've been listening to you since you first joined till now. And just, I got to say thank you to you guys.
Well, thank you.
And Keith, you were a great football player.
I appreciate it.
I'm a Jets fan myself, but I remember that New Year's game against the Raiders. And that was the day that I was like,
oh, yeah.
This guy's pretty damn good.
I appreciate you, man.
Well,
I appreciate that, Zach. Like I said,
yeah, safe travels down there. Safe moving day, because moving stinks, obviously.
It does, and you have to move to Florida, which is just terrible. But best of luck down there. But remember, here's the good news. You may not be able to listen to us the same, but you can listen to us maybe in a better way with the Odyssey app, where you can rewind anytime you want or listen to our podcast or check out YouTube, where they post a clip every day, sometimes multiple clips. We get nuts. So you can still consume us, even if it's not maybe the same way you did growing up, where you pop it on in your car. But think about it. Things change. I grew up listening to WFA, and it was on 660 AM. Then you had the option. You still have the option, 660 AM or 101.9 FM. And then all of a sudden, you got the option of the Odyssey app.
Right.
Or then you got the option of the podcast.
Right.
So you can consume this radio station, which has been a part of your life for a long time, in many different ways. But we appreciate your loyalty. We appreciate you listening. Anyone out there who listens, thank you.
You can also do it on Apple Music, the radio.
Is that true?
Yes.
I don't know.
If you have an iPhone, you have the radio button. Just click the Apple Music, go to the radio, and you can search WFAN.
Look at you.
That's how I listen to it.
How about that?
It's the easiest one for me to get to. When I go into the tunnel.
All right.
Call him Technology Tiki.
Technology Tiki's all over.
I was an MIS major, so.
He knows what he's doing. More of your calls next, plus Sean's got a Cinco de 5-0 list we'll argue about. And last night during the Met game, I noticed something, and I think you guys may have noticed it. Francisco Lindor, the captain of the team, decided not to take out on a double play the ball at second base. I forget if it was a 6-4-3 or a 4-6-3 double play. I'd have to look at my scorecard. Why did that happen? There's an explanation that makes no sense. We'll let you listen to it coming up and analyze Evan and Tiki right here on the Fan.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular-season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.